For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, this is TV personality Eric Bolling
and NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre.
We're coming together for a new weekly podcast. Everyone, you got to subscribe. Bowling with Favre, from politics, sports, finance, culture, nothing off the tables, maybe even a Kardashian comment. One of the disappointing things of the whole Trump administration was when he left office and pardoned 143 people. The Tiger King didn't get a pardon. I mean, are you kidding me?
I watched one episode, by the way.
He was a good guy.
Was he, though?
I don't know. I liked him a lot more than Carol Baskin.
Get new shows every week from Podcast One and LiveByLive.com. Old friends, great stories, intriguing conversation on Bowling with Favre.
We may talk a little hunting. That's your neck of the woods, Brett.
And biking.
And biking and hiking. Subscribe now to the Podcast One app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LiveByLive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Well, in this show, we talk, we hit a lot of subjects. Talk about the new electric Ford F-150. We talk about the Bronco Warthog.
The big Ole Bronco
new
coming
Z.
up for auction.
Yeah, the Parnelli Jones. And we get into my Porsche Cup car in an upcoming race I'm going to be taking it out on. All that. And then there's Dodge.
Yeah, you know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule a test drive.
Got to get on. I chose Ben Gunnerman to get it on. And welcome to CarCast. Matt Coral. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
How you doing?
Over there. Doing well. Running around. Getting the Porsche Cup car prepped to take out to Willow Springs.
Yeah, doing the show. Netflix
show.
Yeah. I don't know what we're supposed to say or not supposed to say or what you're going up against or whatever, but it seems like it's going to be kind of cool. A little odd that it's on the little horse trail thing, the horse thief track, not like streets of Willow. So,
yeah.
But look, an opportunity to get the GT3 out there.
Yeah. What other, did you have it in your head when else you would drive it after buying it?
Well, we thought maybe Rennsport.
Oh, yeah.
And I think technically Rennsport was supposed to happen this year in 2021, but I don't know if it's happening.
Yeah, I don't know if it's happening. We had an event that we wanted to take it out to Laguna Seca with that got canceled, I think.
Yeah, there
last
was.
Year. But I can't remember what it was. But
it was kind of like, you know, when Monterey was canceled and they said, well, we're going to do sort of our own version.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have run groups and everything, but it's just a track day. So what it was basically like Monterey, but you didn't have to apply and send your car in, maybe, you know, cross your fingers and hopefully you get selected. You can kind of bring something like whatever you wanted.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got probably 1,000 laps on the streets of Willow because that's where all the driving courses took place for the Toyota Grand Prix. So I got a lot of laps there. And then I got a lot of laps on the Big Willow track because of that Trans Am race we did. But I have none on the horse trail, so, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what that track's like. So I'll have to go figure it out when
you know,
get there.
I was on it, but it was a while ago, and I don't even really remember it. I just remember it. Man, I think we were on streets of Willow, and they said, hey, does anybody want to go up there? I think we were driving the Lexus LFA.
Mm.
That was the day that Paul Walker came out and drove mm-hmm. with us. He and I were out there driving a couple of LFAs. And we did a few laps up on that, the Horse Thief Mile, and then we're like, yeah, let's go to streets. And they let us do it that way.
Yeah, it's a small track, so I hear, but I don't know. I have no idea what to expect, but I'll go figure it out. Oh, there's the Horse Thief Mile. Okay.
Yeah.
We're looking at it.
Quite a few turns as well.
Quite a few turns for a mile-long track.
Yeah. I just remember it feeling small.
Yeah, I think it probably does, especially compared to, I think, Laguna Seca is like 2.28 or something, you know, 2.3 miles or something. So less than half of Laguna Seca. All right. So lots of stuff going on. There was an auction. There was some cars sold. There were some pretty expensive cars sold. There was the L88 Vet that went for about $2.7 million. There was, I think, some Cobras sold. I didn't get all the final prices for everything. But there's definitely been some auction action going on. Also, I'm looking at a rundown sheet. Parnelli Jones is a Baja winning Big Ole.
Yeah.
Broncos headed to auction. I don't know what auction that's
heading to. That's going to Mecum and Indy. And I don't recall if it's been sold once before. You know, the history on this was, you know, the builder of the vehicle and his co-driver kind of was like edging Parnelli Jones, going, you're not, you know, you're too scared to go off road and you don't want to do it. And then finally he's like, all right, enough's enough. Let's do it. And then they had a couple outings resulted in some broken vehicles, but then ended up winning, I think, back to back Baja 1000s, I think 71 and 72. Mm-hmm. They won back to back ones. And of course, the truck looks cool. It looks kind of interesting because it has sort of this wing up on the top. And the way they skirted the rules was the wing is the roof. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you gotta have a roof or whatever. And they and you can't have a wing or something. And they're like, well, we just shaped the roof a certain way and got away with it.
Right.
But the question is, do you think this is going to be the first $1 million Bronco?
Oh, we all know that rally cars have gone up a lot.
Yeah.
So there was kind of a, you know, it started with street cars and, you know, Ferraris and Lamborghinis and, you know, Ferraris, Mercedes, Gullwings and Duesenbergs and stuff like that. And then it kind of trickled into race cars, but it was like kind of European race cars, international, Le Mans kind of race cars. Then it kind of trickled into all race cars, Nissans and anything else that had some history. And then it bled into rally cars, like 80s Group 5, I think, rally cars. And because people didn't, you know, people kind of went, I think the progression was sort of like, they're kind of like Leno. Like, I want a car I can drive on the street. I want a car I can take to Cars and Coffee or go on street rallies with and stuff like that. Then it kind of got into, well, you know, Le Mans is a public street, you know, most days out of the year. A lot, you know, it's paved, it's asphalt. Then it got into, well, it's not paved, but it's a kind of a road, a street with the rally cars. And now it's just going into the desert. So I think it is a logical progression.
Yeah.
And I think that thing is iconic. And it looks really cool. And I think it's going to be worth $1 million.
I think so, too. It's going to go to Mecum at Indy. You know, when it was made, not a lot of Bronco there. Obviously, it's a tube-frame chassis. The body was fiberglass and aluminum. It had a 351 Windsor V8 in it. Put out just about 400 horsepower. I read that it weighed about 2,600 pounds, like a little over 2,600 pounds.
Light. So
it seemed fairly light for, you know, whatever, 400 horsepower. So now you're going. It's going to be May 14 through 22 is Mecum Indy. And you're kind of one of the more famous, if not the most famous, you know, Baja 1000 vehicles. And I say that as somebody who doesn't really follow it that much. I'm sure there's some pretty iconic vehicles that are out there, mm-hmm. but nothing that's sort of like reached out to the, you know.
Yeah, that car they made models of or on posters.
Yeah, right. And there's pretty, been replicas. There's been a few
pretty
high-end replicas.
Pretty iconic. Also, the second most famous ones are probably BRE Baja cars, 510s and Zs and that kind of stuff.
For us, yes. I feel like there's probably some really iconic vehicles that we don't know.
I don't know that any of the buggies need apply. You know, I don't know that the trophy trucks are too new in a way. I feel like, look, if one was dominant and it won five times or something, there's definitely some value there.
Somewhere they're sitting the best Baja buggy ever, the best Baja motorcycle ever, and certainly worth something.
Yeah, but here's my head on that stuff. Back in the day, people would run all kinds of different stuff there, you know, and then same in the race car world, you know, you had a Porsche 917 and a Ferrari, God, what was the Ferrari, the 330 or something like that, or, you know, or LM or whatever the 70s stuff, you know, they were vastly, you know, so if you kind of get back to Le Mans, you take a look at a Ford GT40 and you take a look at what Ferrari was offering at that point, you take a look at what Porsche was offering at that point, they're just vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think the reason a Ferrari GTO is worth so much is because there wasn't a whole bunch of versions of that car on both sides. Later on, as the stuff got a little more rigid and the buggies were just the buggies, you know, they had the same mm-hmm. manufacturer for the chassis, they had the same power plant, you know, they had the same bodywork, a lot of restrictions on tire size, and you couldn't tell one from the other.
Right.
And, you know, same with the trophy trucks as well, and many other categories in Baja. So now you got a bunch of the same examples. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of those Bronco Big Ole trucks out there.
Yeah.
You know, the decals are vinyl. They're all on the same body. You know, one's Monster Energy drink and the other's Rockstar Energy drink. But it just doesn't give you that kind of... Now, you can still have the history.
Mm-hmm.
You could have great history. You could have the buggy that won five times. But it still looks the same as the other buggy that's next to it that broke down and never completed it. And I think...
Right. So the look of Big Ole really makes a big difference. The wing, which was edgy and controversial at the time as a roof, that's obviously a big...
Yeah, but difference. Even, you know, even when you go back to 2.5 Trans Am or B sedan, you know, the kind of groups I like, you got a 510, then you got the Alphas over here, you got some Porsches over there.
Mm-hmm.
You have a totally, you know, you have a totally different look for each vehicle, you know?
Yeah.
And so what would it be? What would the value of a BRE 510 be if they're all just 510s? In the race, slightly different liveries, but just the same car. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that kind of distinction, you know, when you see Horse Quack and he's in his Alpha GTA and he's going at it with John Morton in his 510, they're totally different looking cars doing the same thing on the same track at almost exactly the same speed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's what people like. Later on, when you get into... like Le Mans, and they got the LMP cars, and they're all just the same car.
Yeah.
I think that kind of hurts the hobby a little bit, or the collectability of it.
I mean, NASCAR, right? The stock cars are kind of, obviously that went the same direction. And arguably, you know, drag racing as well, NHRA, like a lot of the funny cars are all pretty much the same.
Thanks for making my point, which is... NASCAR is kind of the last segment of the car collecting world that really hasn't gone up in value, because there are 40 cars that are look almost exactly the same.
Right. Now you have to go back to, you know, Dale Earnhardt Sr. cars and Petty cars,
and now those do have value.
And those are probably starting
Yeah, those are starting to move. So it'll be interesting years from now to see how the history, but it's history that's sort of combined with the design and the aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think the Porsche 917 would be $40 million if they're all just 917s out there from different car companies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think Big Ole has the right recipe of, you know, with Parnelli Jones as a driver, some uniqueness to the vehicle, a two-time winner.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the new Bronco stuff coming out, the attention it's getting.
Well, speaking of that, the Warthog.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Big Ole gets $1 million. I think it gets $1 million. Yeah. So Warthog is, there's been some spy photos coming out of the vehicle being tested. Ford's all in on the new Bronco. What's cool about it is it's so modular. Everything comes off on that thing. Every body panel, fender, so you'll be able to modify it however you want. But of course, Ford wants some of that market as well. So they basically took the recipe that's been so successful with Ford Raptor and Ranger Raptor in other parts of the world, and they've come up with, which would be a Raptor version, but they're calling it the Bronco Warthog. It's got the beefed up suspension, coilovers, beefed up coilovers, control arms and stuff, I believe, similar, if not the same, as the Ranger Raptor. And it's the big off-roady, tougher version of the Bronco. And it looks kind of badass if you're going to go out there and use it the way it is intended. Now, the rumor is it'll have the 3-liter EcoBoost engine out of the Ford Explorer ST, sort of the hotter, sportier version, which is 400 horsepower.
Mm.
So that's not bad. And that's 400 horsepower before you breathe on it.
Right.
Right. And that's the whole point of the Bronco, is to do as many modifications as you want and personalize it the way you want. So, of course, anybody that's going to take it out there is going to breathe on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I bet that thing is badass at 450 horsepower.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the current Raptor is about 450 horsepower with the EcoBoost engine, the 3.5, and that thing's a blast.
Yeah, and I guess it'll be considerably lighter. I mean, I would assume.
I believe so. If they offer it in the 2-door and the 4-door versions, then yeah.
Some spy pics in the new Z car that are out there.
Yes, you know, when we went to Tennessee, and you did the virtual debut of that vehicle, and then we were able to go and see it in person here. And when we debuted it in Tennessee, it was on the Jumbotron. It was so bright, that yellow just really, really got bright. It kind of washed things out. But I don't know where this is exactly, if this is in a loading dock somewhere or an assembly plant. But we've got a few Zs, and there's a gray one and a silver one. It looks to be as close to the actual Z Proto as possible. But when you look at that front, a lot of people are talking about the grill. The grill is huge. It's black. What's going on? They've added some chrome trim to the oval shape, sort of the honeycomb oval shape-ish portion of the upper part of the grill. And it does make it seem a little smaller.
Yeah.
And it gives it a little more definition. And now it has sort of an upper and lower front grill.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we thought was changed. And of course, a lot of comments on the interior, because there is an automatic shifter on there. But the one that we saw was a manual.
Mm-hmm.
And Nissan tells us that it will be available as a manual.
Yeah.
But so here's a little video. You can see there's a Z on the side that somebody put black tape over. There's a Z on the front that somebody put black tape over, or whatever, the Nissan logo.
Yeah.
Well, but it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. It'll work, and people will definitely order it with a stick. That's for sure.
Your thoughts on this, though, because the naming has always been the size of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
But this could be called a 400Z.
240Z, 260, 280, 300, 3 liter.
370, right? Is it 3? I think it's 3.7 in that one.
Yeah, I think there's a 3.7.
Well, this could be a 400Z, but not from a 4 liter, but because it's the horsepower now. I might go back to like a 3 liter or 3 point something liter, the Infiniti engine that's 400 horsepower.
Sorry, but I was looking up on Bring a Trailer about a 370, Pete Brock's 370Z that sold. And I think I read 3.9. It's just a weird memory, but that wouldn't make sense. But I just had a flash of 3.9. Could have been me, could have been a typo. Who the hell knows? But we can check the Max Paddock and double check that. Yeah, that's going to be...
It's a 3.7 liter V6 currently. It is 332 horsepower. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm wrong. Horsepower. Well, bad memory. All right. So that's that car. And I don't know when that thing is debuting. I don't know. Are people putting in orders now?
I don't know. I think it's still a ways out, although it looks like there's some made. I don't know if that means it's going to do more auto shows or some sort of rounds. And maybe some dealer showings to get interest and get some orders in. Mm-hmm. But I don't have an exact date on that. But I want to say probably end of the year.
Okay. There's also some spy pics, a new electronic Ford F-150, and it has an independent rear.
Yeah, so this is what kind of interesting is not just coil springs in the back. It's got an independent rear. And the reason why is there's an electric motor in the back of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having it, the electric motor, on a live axle, it's fixed mounted, right? So now it's attached to the chassis and it has an independent rear with coil springs. So you can see the sort of electric motor housing pumpkin with half shafts coming off of it. Now, what does this do to tow rating and load capability? Are they going to add airbags to it so you can adjust the load capability? Not exactly sure. But to me, that says it's going to be the smoothest driving, nicest driving F-150 available, right? Because once you start getting into that, probably the best handling, probably the smoothest driving version of it. So you can see it was kind of this cutout of the photo. You can see there's a spare tire, but then you see a coil spring. It looks like an entire coil over, and there's a half shaft, and then the entire pumpkin, which is huge, you know, that center section is fixed, and there's an electric motor in there. I imagine an electric motor in the front as well.
And the electric motor's driving the half shafts.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It
seems pretty basic.
Yeah.
Like you have a drive shaft that people started calling propeller shaft for a while. Bothered me. Now it's a drive shaft again, I think. But you have the drive shaft driving the diff normally, so where would you put the motor? Well, you could put it in the drive shaft, but why not just put it in the diff?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, that's my kind of layman's take on it. So that's good.
I assume there's a similar setup in the front, and it can have some sort of all-wheel drive mode.
Hey, Max Batta, let's see, there were some high-dollar cars going off, I guess, at Mecum last week. They had a couple Vets that went for a lot. I mean, the L88, I think 67 Vet, one for 2.7. I guess they only made 20 of them. This is like the last one with the numbers matching block, so I heard. And it was... the old body style. I think when people picture the L88 big block Vets, they picture the newer body style, not the older school body style. And this was in the older school one. And I think that's why it went for so much. Max Pata has some of the cars up there. Yeah, the L88 Vet went for 2.695. I'll just call it 2.7. Ferrari F12 DF went for... 800 grand, and another Ferrari, and the saline twin turbo, saline, I should say,
yeah,
S7.
600?
600.
I feel like that's right. I feel like that's on par with what those are going for.
73 Porsche RS went for almost 500. Yeah, they sold, the market is pretty strong, although those Porsche RS 2.7, the one that went for 495, those things were knocking on the door of $1 million about 5 years ago. And the big block Ford Boss Mustang 429.
Now, if I recall years ago, those jumped. Those are jumped to the 400-500 range, I believe, and then they settled a bit. This feels like that number is creeping back up.
The big block, the Boss Mustang Boss 429s hopped a lot a few years ago. I don't think they got to five. They hopped up to like high threes, low fours, and then they kind of settled back down into the twos and threes, I guess, and they're starting to move again.
Yeah.
It's my recollection.
Yeah. And looking at Hammer Time, at Hammer Price, some of them in 2017, we were seeing some at about $350,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
In 16, they were down to 216. And then at 2018, we've got one for 4.25.
Yeah. I don't think they got up to five. They just got up into the low fours, I think. And then they settled down, and now they're heading back up again.
There's another one for 400.
Yeah, I just don't think they got much past four. Not quite
five. Oh, in 2016, there was one for 550 at Barrett Jackson.
I wonder if that one had a special story.
Let me see.
To it.
I don't see any information in here on it.
All right. Well, let's move on.
It's kind of interesting.
Audi says they got no plans to continue making internal combustion engines.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. So Audi says we're not going to do development on new internal combustion engines. EV is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes said, yeah, that's our plan as well. And BMW says, we're not throwing in the towel yet.
Well, you know, there's a strategy. I think there's two strategies. You know, there's one strategy is let's get out front of the curve and the technology and get all electrified as fast as we can. And, you know, that makes sense. But if you're a European car manufacturer like BMW is, and all your counterparts are going full, like when they announce we're going full electric by 2025 or whatever it is, well, now you may be behind the curve on the technology if you're BMW, but you're the only game in town.
Yeah.
So now if you want something that sounds good when you throw a rev at it, you got to get a BMW.
Yeah.
You may have been thinking about an Audi, but now no more.
I mean, I love that idea, but what sort of regulation and, you know, politics are forcing that to happen? And BMW said, hey, Mini Cooper's going to go electric. And they said, we expect half of our BMW sales to be electric, but we still have an audience for a gas engine vehicle. And we need to be able to, like you're saying, satisfy that customer.
Mm-hmm.
The question I bring up is, and I'm not as read up on this yet, so I don't know all of the answers for this, but the idea of EV cars is being pushed so hard because it seems like no other real viable option has been presented to lawmakers,
mm-hmm.
right? But we're mining to make batteries. Where are we putting the batteries when they start to, you know, when they don't work anymore? Where are we putting that chemical? At home, a lot of new homes, especially in California and Santa Monica, all new homes have to be solar powered or some amount of solar power. I get that portion, but there's no real infrastructure in many cities and states that how are we making power that's not polluting in the air? So my question is, we're forcing EV on some level politically,
mm-hmm.
but is that worth these huge investments? Because in 10 years from now, we may say, this didn't really do much, you know, because now we're creating, you know, as opposed to some sort of clean burning alternative fuel, like we talked about with Mazda and Porsche's developing part of that e-fuel initiative. If they had a clean burning liquid fuel, not only could that help solve the problem, depending on how it's made, I don't know, but also we have an infrastructure of gas stations all over the planet, which could change the pumps to that. So
right.
I don't know. Maybe the thought is, are we rushing into EV too much? What I mean is the car company should embrace it, come up with the hybrids, the EVs. I get that. But the idea of cities, states, entire countries saying EV or nothing.
Yeah, well, you're sort of being pragmatic, but you're not dealing with AOC and company who just they just go, right. We want electric cars, these other cars pollute. Like, they don't really, they don't look down the road, pardon the pun, 10 years and try to figure out where all the heavy metals are going or infrastructure.
Right.
Or anything. There's, it's just political expediency. It's like, oh, I'm behind electric cars. That's it. At a certain point, they would probably want you out of your car altogether. They just want you on some mass public transit, living in some sort of urban inner, you know, city kind
right.
of
with a mask on.
Housing with a mask on. That's right. their plan. They don't really say things like we want no cars or we want to take your guns or we want to do any of that stuff. But the big plan is to get your car, get your gun, and get you into some sort of unit in the inner city.
Yeah,
that's the plan. I mean, that's their kind of utopia plan. Now, I think if COVID has taught anyone anything, it's like the people that were spread out and not living on top of each other.
Right.
So it's kind of, they have to put that one down for a little bit because of COVID, because all the spread was from the people living clustered together in these tight quarters, apartments
yeah, yeah.
in Manhattan and the cities, and the people out in the neighborhoods and suburbia didn't get hit like they got hit. But the plan is they'd probably like to get you out of your car altogether.
I would agree. I think that's the thought.
Yeah. And look, some of it is fine. I mean, it's not like the plans are completely flawed. Like, okay, in the future, maybe kids won't own cars. Maybe everyone will just Uber everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe
it'll something.
Cut down on congestion or parking or whatever. It's like, okay. I'm fine with that.
And I'm not making an argument of is a internal combustion engine cleaner than EV or not. I'm just saying it seems like a lot of time and money and energy is being forced into EV when I'm not sure all things have been accounted for, right? It's
right.
just been the option.
Right. Yeah. All right. Why don't you hit Dodge and we'll move on to some other car-related subjects.
Yeah, you know, Dodge has officially opened the doors of the new 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. It's the most powerful SUV ever. This is going to be a limited production model. They're going to make about 2,000 of these things. So I think some dealers still have it. You might want to rush out there and take a look. But they also have got their RT, their big V8 version as well. But the Hellcat version is 710 horsepower. It's got this new aggressive styling and an interior with a driver-centric cockpit. And now all buyers will receive a full day of pro instruction at the Bondurant High Performance Driving School, which changed its name to
Radford.
That's it. It's, I'm
oh,
going to
really?
Remember it at
oh,
some point. Yeah, the Radford Driving School. That's where you're going to go. Well, deliveries begin early this year. So like I said, hurry to your Dodge dealer to check it out. And you know that Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So like we said, hurry to your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today to schedule a test drive.
I wonder if that Porsche Cup car is going to be a little more balanced than the 935 and be a little less tail happy. I would imagine they worked it out a little better on that car.
Well, certainly the difference between 79 and 2000, 1979 and 2000,
yeah.
It would make a bit of a difference. The questions we don't know on that car, obviously it's a much more modern six-speed transmission, mm-hmm. I think it's in it. We don't know how it's geared up. We know that Newman raced it at Road Atlanta, right? Petit Le Mans in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then do you recall how big that track is? I recall it being a pretty fast track.
Oh, Road Atlanta is big and fast.
Yeah. Right?
So, oh, yeah. They got a straightaway that's a long-ass straightaway, maybe one of the longest out here.
I mean, I don't know how it's geared up if it's going to – when you get to the 1 mile, lots of tight turns on Horse Thief at Willow – if the car is going to move at all, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if you've had a chance to even take it around the block. And I think the guys were still working on it, right?
No, yeah, I haven't. I mean, you got to You might have to drop it into first on some corners.
I bet.
Which,
yeah.
Never a pleasure. It always just feels weird into first. But there may,
if it's
maybe
not,
some of that.
If it's not getting the RPM out of it, when you're in first at that low speeds, it might not feel too weird because it'd be like, oh, I'm at 2,200 RPM and we got to get out of it. It'll be kind of interesting. And I don't know how the competitor car is going to be geared up, but obviously very, very different than what you are bringing.
I'm curious what that cup car weighs. Max Zapata, you got to Google in Porsche 2000 GT.
GT3.
Is it GT3?
Yeah.
GT3
2000 GT3 cup car weight.
And find out what do you think that thing weighs?
It's 2,500.
That I feel like that's too light, I think,
really?
For that car.
I think it's going to be fairly lightweight. I feel like it's 2,500. I'm
going wrong. Above. It's got a lot of tube frame in there. I mean, it's got a lot of cage in there. German cars, not always the lightest. It's not a small car, per se.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a 510
kind of
or Miata
over the years.
Or something. I'm going to go more in the 2,900 range than the 2,500 range. But Max Zapata will...
I'll let you know when I find it.
Settle it
okay.
when he finds it.
I think he's eating bacon.
Yeah, he's eating. Don't bother him when he's eating. I found out that the tank holds 16.9 gallons, so that much I know.
Okay.
The engine, still not sure. Maybe a tick over 400 horsepower. But at 8,400 RPM, that's a pretty high revving Porsche engine.
I went back and looked at some of the previous auctions because it sold at Mecum to you, and then previously it was at RM.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullet points on that car were, it said 400 horsepower or like 400 plus horsepower, which sounds about right.
Yeah, naturally aspirated, 3.76? I don't know.
I really don't know.
All right, Max, about time's up. It's got to be up there.
2,998 pounds.
Right? Wow, you'd be right on.
2,998. So it's 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish it was 23 or 25.
Yeah, that does seem heavy. To me, that seems heavy.
You know, is that fully fueled?
It doesn't
or does it say.
Say,
it doesn't, say. Doesn't say dry?
No.
Normally they'll say dry.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, maybe a little less in the racing car world.
They don't do the dry.
It's not like a standard to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting. I would could throw it under some scales and throw it on top of some scales and see.
I just think I've
curb weight without
curb
dry.
Weight.
Curb weight.
Curb weight is
it's all curb weight.
2,447.
Yeah, now it's feeling a little bit more like.
What
was the other number you found?
This is from a blog. This is from supercars.net. The other one was from Wikipedia, so I don't know which one is correct.
I would go.
You
with
literally
the
gave my number and Adam's number, so now there's no.
Well,
there's no winner.
They obviously used you as sources when they posted these articles here.
Well, the curb weight at 24, whatever. Unless I've never been happier to be wrong. I pray I'm wrong. I'd love to shave 500 pounds off that car.
I believe the supercars.net one because it actually shows a picture of your car right next to the curb weight. So and the auction sales history. So I have 2,447.
Oh, so not just a GT3. You're saying the Newman GT3.
The Newman GT3.
Yeah,
is 2,447.
Right. Which is just a GT3.
Yeah,
I mean, cup car, but
for some reason the GT3 and the
they use that as the reference, so
Wiki
that's,
could be wrong. Yeah. Anytime.
All right.
So. Oh, good. Well, they just picked. They probably just picked a picture of a popular GT3 and put it next to the curb weight. But that's the curb weight. There's no difference between weight and curb weight, is there?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think there should be. But they're
evidently Wiki has different thoughts. All right, but curb weight just means weight. Or maybe it means weight fully. Maybe
there's dry weight.
Dry weight.
And
maybe curb weight.
Weight
is dry is the opposite of, or not the opposite, but different than dry weight. Let's see if we can figure out the definition of curb weight, Max Pat.
So curb weight is the weight of your vehicle with all the standard equipment and amenities. However, this weight does not include any cargo or passengers.
Expat is trying to eat his home fries. Yeah. Miserable.
You're calling.
I know.
That's the only reason why we're asking the questions at this point.
Norm's truck came by and dropped off a bunch of breakfast.
Yeah, but it's essentially the weight of your vehicle while it's resting on the curb and not in use. So I don't know what regular weight would be.
That would be with fluids. Resting on the curb means it's got oil and transmission fluid and whatever. Yeah. So if you're 2,500 pounds, let's say maybe not a full tank of gas. You're at 2,500 pounds with, I don't know, half a tank, that's not bad.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be wrong about that. It's lighter than I would have thought. All right, let me hit Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure, you do one or the other, right? And I bet you work hard. So I'll tell you what, Geico's going to do something that makes it easy on you. You can bundle your policies. You can take your homeowner's, your renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do already. So bundle those up. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. Geico makes it Geico easy. Visit geico.com today and get your bundle on at geico.com. All right, I'm going to be in Nashville at Zany's doing a live podcast April 14th, and then Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club, and then Golden, Colorado. Just go to adamcarolla.com and find out when I'm coming to a town near you, and check out our Pluto station, 585. We've got a lot of Adam Carolla Goes Racing and lots of good stuff up there to look at. Matt? What do you got?
Yeah, follow me at Motorator, and I'll keep posting some fun stuff. Oh, I've got a month of Audis to drive, and the good ones. I got RS7, RS6, RSQ8, and more. I got I think all through April. It's gonna be a month of Audis, Audi month.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.